Let's go on over to Europe. Let's travel across the pond and see what's going on with the European Parliament elections. If you don't know, Europeans across the continent are heading to the polls this weekend for the European Parliament elections. Over the course of the next 4 days, nearly 400 million citizens in 27 countries will vote to elect representatives from their respective countries to serve as lawmakers in the European Parliament in the Belgian capital of Brussels. Altogether, 720 representatives will be elected. It all started yesterday, June 6th, with the great nation of the Netherlands. And we're now getting reports that the nationalist populist extraordinaire Geert Wilders, fresh off his victory in their national elections, Geert Wilders and the Dutch Freedom Party are absolutely now crushing it in their European elections. Exit polls are showing that the European continent is indeed swinging way to the right in these elections, if the Netherlands are any indicator. If the exit polls are correct, the Dutch Freedom Party, that's the Netherlands Patriot Party, has gone from zero seats in the European Parliament. They have never won European election before. They've gone from zero seats to winning upwards of 20% of their seats. Altogether, the Netherlands has 31 seats in the European Parliament. It looks as if the Dutch Freedom Party has won 7. The Green Party has won 8. It looks like the Green Party's come in first, which again is just par for the course of the way we've been doing politics over the last couple of decades in Europe. So it looks like the Green Party's come first, but to everyone's shock, it's not the center right or the center left or anything like that. It is this full-blown nationalist populist, very anti-Islamist, very civilizationalist party known as the Dutch Freedom Party. They have come in either second or first. We're still figuring out there. So that's a huge, huge development, especially in a multi-party election. Remember, there are dozens of parties running in the Netherlands for election. And so if you're coming out with 20% of support, that's huge. You're a major party, and this is the far right, radical right, going from zero to now 20% of their seats. It's absolutely gigantic. But more than that, it confirms what pundits, particularly liberal pundits, were so utterly afraid of here. This year's European Parliament elections promises to be nothing less than a total and complete political earthquake. The polls for months now have been showing that Europeans are ready to vote in their most right-wing nationalist populist government ever. So, for example, we talked about this the other day in France. Polls are showing that 1 in 3 voters are now going to be voting for Marine Le Pen's National Rally, which is France's version, their Patriot Party. That's double the amount who plan to vote for French President Emmanuel Macron's party en Marche. And just to show you how the demographics are changing here, this is so cool. The National Rally is being led in terms of the European Parliament vote by the 28-year-old Jordan Bardella. Jordan heads the party's list for the EU parliamentary elections. Bardella is terrifying globalists all over the world because he represents the new right. He's the new right of the emerging Zoomer right, voters under the age of 30. In fact, polls show that the National Rally, in particular in France, and just nationalist parties all over Europe, but particularly National Rally, they're getting their strongest support among the youngest voters, who share nothing of the loyalty older voters have for the more traditional center-right, center-left parties. I mentioned in a video that I did the other day that Foreign Policy magazine actually recently featured an article found that the youth vote, the under 30 vote, is actually what's swinging Europe to the so-called far right. It's the youth vote. It's the youth vote that promises that the nationalist populist wave that's sweeping the continent is just beginning. We ain't seen nothing yet. Hey, gang, with everything going on right now, it's hard to say what could happen or what will happen. And to make matters even worse, we usually don't find out until it's too late. But when it comes to your money,
you should understand what's at stake. That's why I partnered with GoldCo. Now, you guys know I'm a big fan of hedging future risks with the timeless value of gold and silver. And that's why you've got to click on the link below or go to TurleyTalksLikesGold.com to get your free gold and silver kit. Gang, it's an amazing free resource that shows you step-by-step how to get into precious metals tax-free and penalty-free, even if your money's still in a retirement account like an IRA or a 401k. And the best part is that you may already qualify to get up to $10,000 in free silver. You've seen the writing on the wall. Click on that link below or go to TurleyTalksLikesGold.com to get your free gold and silver kit right now, because this is about taking back control of your freedom and your privacy. We can't predict the future, but we can certainly prepare for it. So don't wait. Take action now to defend your freedom, your privacy, and your future. Click on that link below right now.
Now, if you don't know, this completely contradicts what's called the cultural backlash thesis. Remember that. You might want to write that down, the cultural backlash thesis, because you'll hear it a lot on MSNBC. You'll hear it a lot on CNN. It actually has more to do with European politics, but it's a term derived from a book recently published, relatively recently, a few years back, by two university professors, Pippa Norris and Ronald Engelhardt, who argued that the political success that populists were having around the world, like with President Trump or with Brexit or Viktor Orban in Hungary, Nayib Bukele in El Salvador, Narendra Modi in India, that all of that success was temporary. And it's temporary because it's simply nothing more than a massive backlash. I kid you not. It's basically a backlash made up of primarily old white men. This is a serious thesis. I mean, this is MSNBC in a nutshell. MSNBC literally eats, sleeps, and drinks the cultural backlash theory. When all said and done, this is just for cope. The populist and patriot movements around the world, they argue, are thriving simply because a bunch of bigoted, racist, old white men are reacting en masse. They have one last hoopla against the inevitable demographic and cultural transformations initiated by increasingly non-white, migrant, and young populations. But the key to this thesis is that this resistance is only temporary. And that's because we all know, again, that's the key assumption to this thesis, we all know that young voters, the youth vote, are the most progressive left-wing liberal we've ever seen. And so as these older white voters inevitably die out, and as the young, idealistic, progressive leftists take over, a massive woke wave will inevitably cover the globe. That is what is known as the cultural backlash thesis. And these European elections are showing just how utterly, completely full of shit that thesis is. It's actually the opposite. That's what all the data shows. It's the older voters who are actually the ones who are most inclined to support the globalist liberal status quo. It's the younger voters who are the ones who are most attracted to the far right, radical right nationalist populace. Case in point, the AfD, the Alternative for Deutschland, the Alternative for Germany. They are the Nationalist Populist Party in Germany. They are now the number one most popular party among 14 to 29-year-olds. In a recent survey called the Youth in Germany Study, researchers found that the under 30 German population is incredibly pessimistic about the state of things in Europe and around the world. They're very pessimistic about the economy, about inflation, but most especially about immigration, unfettered immigration. And the AfD has clearly persuaded the under 30 vote that all of these problems are caused by a globalist elite who do not care about them who are violating German sovereignty and care only about their own power and affluence. And German youth are hardly alone. This is the same pattern we're seeing in nation after nation after nation all over Europe. It is actually the young people who are far more prone to vote for the so-called far right than the older people. The cultural backlash thesis could not possibly be more wrong. And it's because, again, it has to do with this notion of alignment. Older voters are still aligned. They still have a strong loyalty and affinity for the old mainstream center, left, center, right parties they grew up with post-World War II. The youth are going through a massive process known as de-alignment. The youth are the radicals. They are completely de-aligned. They have no loyalty whatsoever to a single party. And therefore, they are far more likely to vote for so-called third parties, for in this case, the far right, than our older voters. The cultural backlash thesis should be called the cultural bunk thesis. So we'll keep a very, very close eye on the results of the elections over the weekend, which really do promise to be a massive political earthquake shifting the continent of the so-called far right like never before. And can you imagine what we may be having in a few months? We may be having a right-wing Europe, a right-wing Middle East, a right-wing Eurasia, a right-wing Latin America, increasingly so. Forget Mexico, a right-wing Africa, particularly Sahara and Sahel region, and then a right-wing MAGA, America First November. I mean, it's going to be absolutely, and then we got to get Pierre Poilievre and the conservatives in Canada. We got an amazing year moving to the right.